Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue Bee Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today's show is going to feature an interview that I did with Syracuse cornerback Ifeatu Melifonwu, a player who could possibly have his name called late in the first day of the 2021 NFL draft. Some mock drafts have Melifonwu going late in the first round. Some have him going day two. But, with the Giants perhaps looking at cornerback help in the draft, if Melifonwu was there at 42, perhaps he could be a consideration for the Giants in the second round or even the third round if he happens to fall that far. But we'll get a chance to talk with the young man here in a couple of minutes. But first, I thought we should spend some time talking about Nate Solder. The news broke late last week, according to a report from Jordan Renan of ESPN, that Solder plans to play in 2021 after opting out of the 2020 season. And I thought that, there's been a lot of discussion about what will happen with Solder now that he's decided to play. So I thought that we would spend some time talking about the options and what I think might happen here. First and foremost, this obviously leaves the Giants with a decision to make. Solder has 2 years remaining on the four-year, $62 million contract that the Giants signed him to. The last year basically didn't count. The contract told or rolled over for another year. So there's 2 years remaining on that deal that he signed with the Giants. The Giants have to decide whether to keep that contract as is and more or less just welcome Solder back into the fold, back onto the roster. They obviously have to decide whether to cut him to save money against the salary cap, or perhaps restructure his contract, or rip up the contract that he has existing, and perhaps sign him to a less expensive deal. Basically giving him a pay cut. As it is right now, if the Giants cut or trade Solder prior to June 1st, they would incur $10.5 million in dead cap money with $6 million in cap savings for the 2021 season. And obviously, in a year with the cap going down, they could certainly use that money as they try to build a 2021 roster and try to entice other free agents to come to New Jersey. If they designate Solder as a post-June 1 cut, they incur only $6.5 million in dead cap for the 2021 season. The other $4 million in dead cap would roll into 2022. Thus, for 2021, there would be a cap savings of $10 million. The caveat with that, of course, is designating him as a post-June 1 cut means that $10 million does not become available for the Giants until that time, meaning that when free agency starts here in a couple of weeks, that $10 million would still be on the books for the Giants, would still count against their cap, and they would not be able to use that money to pursue other free agents. So it's a so that's a balancing act, and if you're going to you can save a little bit more money by making him a post June 1 cut, but you have to balance that against the reality that you can't use that money when the bulk of the premier free agents would be available early in free agency. As it is, when you look at those three options, I see no way that the Giants are going to keep Solder as is. No way that he would be back on his current contract. The Giants aren't going to carry him at a $16 million or so, $16.5 million cap hit. Just not going to happen. It's very, very possible that the Giants would cut Solder. They could very easily have decided at this point that that they want to go forward with Andrew Thomas and Matt Peart, that perhaps Cam Fleming could be brought back as the swing tackle or as competition for Peart on the right at the right tackle spot, or maybe they would bring in another veteran, use whatever money they that use the $6.5 million that they can save, you know, on the salary cap this year to go out and try to find someone else. You know, the other possibility, of course, is to restructure Solder's contract or to basically rip it up outright, give him a, you know, if he would be willing to agree to a pay cut to remain with the Giants. I don't know if he would be. I don't know if the Giants would be willing to offer him, you know, such a deal. But I went looking for examples of that happening. And Sammy Watkins, wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs a year ago, took a pay cut from around $13 million to a base salary of $7 million with incentives that brought his deal to $16 million, you know, in order to stay with Kansas City, you know, which was, I think, intending to cut him. But Watkins wanted to stay there. The money was just prohibitive, and he wanted to stay there. The Chiefs kind of wanted to keep him, so they made it happen with a new deal, less expensive deal, one that had a lot of incentives in it that offered Watkins an opportunity to make back a lot of that money that he had given up on the front end. I could see the Giants perhaps doing something like that with Nate Solder, as, you know, he's a guy who played in New England for several years, was familiar to Joe Judge, the Giants head coach. Judge has respect for Solder. And if Solder wants to play, I could perhaps see the Giants doing something like that to bring him back. We'll have to see over the next few weeks how this unfolds. But one thing is clear to me, at least. I can't see a trade market for Nate Solder. I've seen some fans reference the idea of possibly trying to trade Solder. You know, first of all, a year and a half ago when Solder was playing for the Giants, there was no market for Solder at the trade deadline. It just didn't, you know, it wasn't going to happen. There were no offers for Solder at that point in time. I can't see anyone being willing to take Solder's contract plus give up a draft pick, even a conditional seventh round draft pick, for a guy who didn't play last year, a guy who's 32, a guy who really struggled in the 2019 season, hasn't played right tackle since his rookie year. So I just don't see a market for Solder. I don't see any value, you know, for other teams in terms of giving up, you know, even the conditional seventh round pick for Solder. So I just don't see trading him as a realistic option. The other thing I see Giants fans worrying about or talking about is the possibility that Solder could end up playing the left tackle spot, or, you know, with Andrew Thomas moving to the right side. And again, that's another thing that I just don't see. The Giants used the fourth overall pick on Andrew Thomas. They've already moved him to left tackle. The only possible starting role I see for Nate Solder, provided that Andrew Thomas is healthy, would be at right tackle, where I could see them allowing Solder and Matt Peart to compete on the right side, which would be a big adjustment for Solder, of course, since it's been a long time since he's played there. But I could see them allowing him to compete there. If he loses that job to Matt Peart, Solder could fill the role of veteran swing tackle. That is a very, very important role on a football team, to be honest with you. You know, when injuries do happen, it's really, really imperative that you have players who are capable of stepping in, especially on short notice, especially without a lot of reps, without a lot of practice. Solder could fill that role. I'm sure he would be a good presence in the Giants locker room, no matter what his role would be. So that's what I would see for Solder if the Giants were to bring him back. They're not going to move Andrew Thomas for Nate Solder at this point in Solder's career or Thomas's career. That simply makes no sense whatsoever. Anyway, Giants fans, let's do this now. Let's take a break for a word from our sponsors at SB Nation. When we come back, I will be playing an interview that I did with Ifeatu Melifonwu, Syracuse cornerback. All right, Giants fans, we're back here on the Valentine's Views podcast, and I am joined by a special guest, Ifeatu Melifonwu of Syracuse University, cornerback who's looking forward to the 2021 NFL draft. Ifeatu, thank you very, very much for spending some time with me.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, so I've got to ask you, you just came through the Senior Bowl experience a couple of weeks ago. And I had talked to Jim Nagy about that experience for all of you guys. How valuable did you find that whole experience, in terms of getting to meet teams, getting to know some of the GMs, maybe some of the scouts, some of those decision makers?
I don't know. I think it was real valuable, and I feel like we, the guys at the Senior Bowl, kind of got a head start and a little advantage to, first and foremost, the scouts and GMs and stuff seeing us on the field and actually playing, and then getting a chance to actually meet them in person, because I know, the other people that didn't go to the Senior Bowl are just doing Zooms and stuff like that. So we actually got to meet people face-to-face.
Are you a little disappointed, that there isn't a combine, that it's not, kind of a traditional offseason the way, prospects in the past have had the lead up to the draft?
Yeah, a little bit, because I feel like I would have performed very well at the combine, and it would be a good main stage. And I feel like, when there's a lot of people there and dudes you're like competing against, it's more adrenaline and things like that. It's more competition, I feel like. So I'm a little disappointed in that.
But when is your pro day for Syracuse?
So my pro day, it's not fully determined yet, but they're looking at March 19th, mm-hmm. but it's not set in stone.
So, but that'll really be your only other opportunity to get in front of people and show any skills and have them put any measurables on paper for you, right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay. So I have to ask, this whole process, your brother went through this a few years ago. And, he put up, I was looking at him today, and he put up crazy, crazy numbers at the combine, got drafted in the second round, has played a little bit, but maybe his career hasn't worked out maybe the way that he might have hoped it to this point. What lessons maybe have you learned, from talking to your brother or from watching his career in the NFL?
I feel like I've learned a lot. I've learned, don't take anything for granted. It could get taken away from you just like that. He had some injuries and required surgery, so that's why he's been kind of bounced around with different teams. But just to enjoy the process, don't be too nervous, but just take everything in and enjoy it while I'm in it. And like I said before, just don't take it for granted.
Right. And maybe that the numbers is also part of it. Maybe that the numbers, that the measurables and all that, it's important, but it's not maybe the most important part of the process.
I feel like it's definitely important, and it does play a huge factor. But I feel like the most important thing is, what you put on tape and your tape throughout the season and Senior Bowl and things like that.
And I have to ask you, I mean, this obviously for you guys, 2020 was a weird, weird season, and obviously things didn't go well on the field for Syracuse. You're talking about, thinking ahead to the NFL and thinking about putting, good tape out there for NFL teams to look at. Was it difficult for you at all, maybe at times to stay focused and kind of keep your eye on the prize, with your team struggling as much as it did this year?
No, it actually wasn't. It wasn't difficult to stay focused and motivated because we were struggling. But I feel like if I'm unmotivated and I'm not on top of my game, that only hurts us even more. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I feel like it's my responsibility to give it my all and play well to give us a better chance of winning. So I feel like motivation and concentration and focus was never really a problem, even though we were struggling.
All right, and I have to ask you: you have two Syracuse teammates in the secondary who are also, hoping and could easily, hear their names called in the draft. I have, you've been talking about, Andre Sisco and Trill Williams, who both in the secondary with you this past year. I have to ask, have you guys got a little friendly side bet on who goes first in the draft?
No, we actually don't. We have to, now that you mentioned that, we might have to do something. We might have to put something together.
tell me why you're going to be the first one to go.
I'm going to be the first one to go. That's a good question. Well, I feel like we all play different positions, so but I feel like I have the ability to play multiple positions. Not saying they don't, but I'm just saying, I feel like I have the ability to play multiple positions, and at the position I play now, I have the size, like I have size, athletic ability, physicality, making tackles and everything. So I feel like, I don't know, maybe that would be a reason.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange way for me to ask you, kind of for a scouting report on yourself. Let me ask you a different way. Giants defensive coordinator Patrick Graham. A couple times this year, the Giants went through a lot of guys at the second cornerback spot opposite James Bradbury. They had kind of a revolving door. I think they started maybe four, maybe five different guys at that spot this year. And we asked him a couple times, Coach, what is it that you really want in a cornerback? And he said the things that he wants guys that are long. He wants guys who can run. He wants guys who are tough, and he wants guys who are willing to tackle. Tell me if that fits the description of what you think of your own game.
I feel like that fits my description perfectly. Guys, guys that are long, I'm 6'3". Guys that can run, I feel like I can run. I can definitely run with anybody. I feel like I could definitely run with anybody. And then physicality and willing tackler, I definitely shown that on tape. So I feel like I check all those boxes.
Cool. So let me ask you this. Circling back to the Senior Bowl a little bit. We talked about that experience for you, but I always find that guys, players know who the other players are. They know who the real top dogs are, who the best guys are. You had to go up against all of those receivers at the Senior Bowl in the one-on-one drills and in the game and all of that. Who are the guys that you had to cover, during the Senior Bowl week that you came away and you thought, man, this kid can play. This kid's going to be good, in the NFL. Are there a couple guys that really stood out to you?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a couple guys on my team, even on other team as well. Kadarius Toney from Florida. I feel like, honestly, all the receivers was really good, but Kadarius Toney, Trayvon Grimes from Florida as well. Going on the other team, Des Fitzpatrick, Demetric Felton, Dwayne Eskridge as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eskridge is a guy that I don't know a whole lot about, but I need to study him some more, I think.
I'm actually training with him right now. Those last three I said, I'm I'm training with all those three, Eskridge, Felton, and Des Fitzpatrick.
Where are you guys training?
In Tampa at Yo Murphy Performance.
Nice. Nice. So it was a nice day up here in upstate New York today, but I'm sure it's a little nicer down in Tampa.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's definitely good weather up here or
There you go. So I wanted to ask you, I haven't watched a whole lot. I've watched some, you know, but I haven't seen every game. I haven't seen all of your film from Syracuse. When you think back on your time at Syracuse, is there one play that you made maybe that stands out that's like, you know, that's your favorite play or your best play or a real highlight, you know, for you?
Now that you said that, like there's a couple in my head right now. I'll say, I feel like the Wake Forest interception. I don't know. I like that play a lot. I like that play a lot because it was on in the red zone. It was like on the 10-yard line or 5-yard line or something like that. And they had a combination that they love to do, and it worked a lot. Like it's a good combination for a red zone. So that's up there. 2018 UNC is up there too. Fourth quarter, we actually had a play call mix up. It was like the last couple seconds. Some dudes in the secondary thought one coach signaled victory, which is like prevent, and then another coach signaled Tampa 2, cover 2. But so I was playing cover 2, and the rest were playing like in the end zone. So once I noticed that, I tried to reroute my receiver, and then I just ran with them because there was no one there. And then I ended up jumping and tipping up a ball just barely, and they didn't get it. I want to say it was like either third or fourth down.
Nice. Nice. So you guys, you're training in, you said you're training in Tampa. So How long is that? You're going to train right up until the draft, or how's that going to work?
I'm definitely going to be training up here right up until the pro day, obviously. I don't know. After the pro day, I might go home, see family a little bit for a couple of days. Then I'll probably come back up here and be up here for a little bit, up until the draft, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or at least until April, like right. Mid-April.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So by up here, you're
down here, sorry.
You're in Tampa, right, in Tampa, okay. Yeah, it's whichever way it is, one way or the other. It's still a little nicer than being in Syracuse. So, yeah, goodness knows I've driven that thruway from Albany to Buffalo enough times. I don't. I'd rather be in Florida myself.
Yeah.
Hey. I really appreciate your spending a few minutes with me. Good luck with your training. Good luck with the draft. Hopefully you hear your name called pretty early. And if you land in New York with Patrick Graham and Joe Judge and the Giants, hopefully we'll get a chance to actually talk to you in person.
Yeah, for sure. And I thank you. I appreciate you for having me on the show.
Hey, no problem. Appreciate you spending a few minutes. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, Giants fans, our thanks to Ifeatu Melifonwu for spending some time with us. Good luck to the young man in the upcoming NFL draft. As always, we thank you for listening. Please stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.